Sing to me, Mani Rao. O muses, excuse this nondescript call, I wonder, who among you apt, who interested? Greek and Sanskrit a must, I mean not words, spaces, where two species, gods, humans, intersect. O Calliope, Erato, Thalia, Cleo, Melpomena, Urania, Euterpe, Polyhymnia, Terpsichore, Magic Nine, all girl cast, dad a voluptuary, stepmother hung by her heels, constant news of half-sisters, mother in deep gloom, when family is this, your friends are poets. Mount Parnassus at your Apollo dance, Sappho plays on, trade for a tradition, Homer restless, Ovid morbid, Blake who met Ezekiel, Dante, Virgil. Come 1, 2, 3, 9, take turns if you tire, your Kali for Kalidasa, Ganesha for Vyasa, for Lorca Duende, for Merrill a red-winged bat. Welcome the Furies, Alecto, Magera, Tisiphone, justices of peace, we'll need them too, around orchards Grecian, on battlefields Trojan, in Shiva's realm, inside Hanuman's heart, gods are us. Monkey Puzzle, Mani Rao. Large as the sky stands on a leaf, small as a thorn on Ravana's seat, try telling him the sun's not a peach. Can't find an herb, uproot the mountain. Ocean's vast, so is devotion. Somewhat out of proportion, Hanuman, a heart so precise it only has room for Ram.
我们辨认植物。在很近的山里，雪茄草和笔筒树，漂浮的鸟鸣和滴降的湖。路是方形的，我们也戴松软的帽，遮坚硬的阳。空白的纸笔在树群推挤的时候，升华成为一种绿色。花草的名字在闪烁。随着我们攀爬的高度熄灭，闻闻看，他说，撕开的叶片里，一只眼瞳燃烧我们连绵的饥饿。在很近的山里，我们辨认植物，并且尽可能的食用。山的高度也方形。
Was the table?Was the chair, sat a child in the kitchen and ate? Was it still in the hall? Did no one wander around and count their own steps? The window cross whiter than usual around evening. Small animals in flight transacted the yard, and dust lay on the glass. And a child was so still.And something occurred with a bolt, was hot at the base and faded and burst. A child opened its eyes wide, and it could not find anything. War der Tisch? War der Stuhl? Saß ein Kind in der Küche und aß? War es still auf dem Flur? Ging niemand herum und zählte die eigenen Schritte?Das Fensterkreuz weißer als sonst gegen Abend. Durchschnitten den Hof kleine Tiere im Flug, und der Staub lag am Glas, und ein Kind war sehr still. Und etwas, das einfiel im Schlag. Das Heiß war im Grund und sich dunkelte, aufschlug. Ein Kind riss die Augen weit auf und konnte.Es konnte nichts finden. Solar Eclipse 1. It's possible that I missed something, that I looked up instead of at the quiet ground where crescents might have flown, one always moving toward the other. They move into the darkness, head over heels into the twilight. Where did this piece of night tarry for 7 minutes? High above, the cold broke in from one moment to the next. Above me, the one I didn't see turned dark. I had gazed at this lead engraving, judging from my view halfway to the universe, really, but still concealed. 2. It's unclear if nocturnal creatures flew to touch the blind-ordered objects, if a god was present, and if anyone heard him, if at all. What can be proven is nothing more than the scraping of soles, the alternating movement of hedges and of small trees. Some made others stop, still others laughed aloud without any apparent cause. Nothing remains unclear, recordable as evidence of stains, darkness, missing witnesses. Sonnenfinsternis. 1. Womöglich habe ich etwas verpasst, habe hochgeschaut, anstatt auf die stillen Böden, wo Sicheln geflogen sein mögen, die einen immer auf andere zu, ihr Wandern ins Dunkle, kopfüber ins Dämmern. Wo blieb dieses Nachtstück in 7 Minuten? Hoch oben brach Kaltes von einem aufs andere ein. Über mir hatte sich jene verfinstert, die ich nicht sah. Ich habe zu diesem so unterkühlten Bleistich aufgeschaut, nach meiner Ansicht auf halber Strecke zum All. Tatsächlich, aber bedeckt? 2. Offen bleibt, ob schon Nachttiere flogen, um die aufgereihten blinden Körper zu betasten, ob ein Gott anwesend war und jemand ihn hörte, wenn überhaupt. Belegbar ist nichts als das Scharren der Sohlen, versetzte Bewegung von Hecken und Bäumchen. Die einen ließen andere stehen, Dritte lachten ohne sichtbaren Anlass auf. Offen bleibt nichts als Beweis aufzunehmen von Flecken, Finsternis, fehlenden Zeugen. When you're not here, you're nowhere to be seen. My face is washed and wrapped in clothes, so that nothing freezes in winter. Your photo is intentionally misplaced in the album. The table also belongs to someone else. The body altar is clear. Behold, someone blind travels straight through my aging hair and brings light and shifting wind. Someone blind travels straight through my aging hair and brings light and shifting wind. Wenn du nicht da bist, bist du nirgends zu sehen. Mein Gesicht ist gewaschen und in Binden gewickelt, damit nichts friert vor dem Winter. Dein Bild ist mit Absicht im Album verblättert. Auch der Tisch gehört einem anderen. Geräumt ist der Körperaltar. Sieh her, es wandert quer über mein alterndes Haar. Ein Blinder bringt leichtes und wechselnden Wind. Es wandert quer über mein alterndes Haar. Ein Blinder bringt leichtes und wechselnden Wind.
Der Immigrant sucht die unbenannten Länder. Monika Sobel. Ich wurde im 1. Jahrhundert der Schuld geboren. Zwischen Ruinen und Bauschutt spielten wir Versteck hinter der Shattered Church Bell. Ghosts had no middle names. Ich schlief auf der Küchenbank mit dem Seufzer des Gusseisens. Im November, the meatless smell of white cabbages. Das Schnattern der Hühner, bevor das Beil nebeliges Glas zerbrach. Ich zählte, counted the pulse between floorboards, zählte die Knochen der Kohle im Keller, ein schwarzes Loch. Das Regenwasser der Jahrzehnte stieg und stieg, während meine Eltern ihre Mäntel im Fluss ertränkten. Afraid of the fungus that shimmers between feuchten Wimpern. Über dem Atlantik Wasser, water swallowed the scent of home, Rost und Zimt. Ich schlief mit dem Reisepass unterm Kissen, ein Traum von Zügen, mein rußverschmiertes Gesicht. How trains pass us without Erschütterung. I was born in the first Jahrhundert der Schuld. Suchende Hände searched the map for the unmarked countries. Monumental, Monica Zobel. Monumental is the writing in foreign letters. In a city that carves directions to our dreams on headstones, subways erase shadows like folded hands on tables. Patched walls catch colds that last a century, while elevators witness every fall, every rise, with closed doors. What did you do? You plucked shadows and reinvented the history of bodies. We leave windows open as if body heat could lock all our losses in a single touch. You confess. The corners of your mouth were drawn for speaking. But I could have sworn that the words you spoke were full of clay and grapes, pockets stuffed with grief. Where did you go? You were homeless. Alphabets blossomed on your toenails. To begin at breath, Monica Zobel. When words march into the city, children are the first to clap their hands. A war fought with being imported by the German Ich war, ich weiß, was, is the most destructive weapon, as in, a leg was a terrible mistake. When I climbed a tree for the first time, nails already curled in my coffin. Wind cracked the porcelain knuckles of fruit, how it drummed in the heart of a root. Trees are shelters and wounds. The longest fall occurs between leaf and leaving.
Ghost by Sarah Torje. Ghost. This world is desert, dry dust and things that crackle and break. This world is heat that kills anything that does not adapt or stay inside. This house is a shelter, a container to be filled. This world contains desert, which contains a house, which contains bodies, containing organs, brains, spirits. This house is full of ghosts, but we are not contained by walls or heat or skin. I was human when a body enclosed me, and I was stuck there within it, attached to it and forced to be it. I was physical, a shelter that crackled and broke, and now I am nothing but a current of air. Human, hello. What are you looking for? I can see it's not me you're trying to find. When I enter your skull and fit myself between lobes, I am listening intently, hoping to hear it, whatever buzzes inside. I hope to catch a glimpse of what it is that you seek. What was common between us is lost now. There is no language, mutual sound, that exists between bodies and ghosts, but only rarely the fleeting sense that we've touched. Human walks into the house with an ever-increasing number of dogs following behind her. Dogs chew at woodwork, dig at the floor, sleep. Human and dogs look right at me, then turn and leave the room. Did they see me? I approach the face of one, graze its skin, settle on the bridge of a nose. I am unnoticed. Unrest. This is unrest. This is a well of unrest. This is what exists in the negative space. After life comes an absence of life, which is no definition at all. I can tell you what I am not, but there are no words for what I am. An absence of language exists in the area that is me, and yet there are words to say. Are they speaking? Do they speak? Dog stares at human, stares at dog, stares at ghost, stares at human, turns away. Each species is alone in a well of itself. dog. Now forest, now concrete, now we are running. There are a lot of us. This is better than few. This is better than starving and hiding and not knowing. Now we call out. We find more and more of ourselves because this makes it safer, and we need to be safe, and we need to not be alone. What does it mean to walk on two legs or run? This is impossible. This is a fantastic feat. She does this, and she produces food from thin air while we've scavenged for rot. She reaches out to touch us, and suddenly there is calm. We recruit now, we breed for her, we grow in numbers, we run. We spread out in all directions to clear the path as she walks. We attack anything that doesn't turn the other way. She doesn't even know we do this for her. She walks peacefully, and we try to keep it that way. She is hunting for something, and we will help her find it. Now a trespasser, now it kicks, now we attack. There is blood in our mouths, and this could be food, but this is not food. This is an enemy, and if it should be eaten, she will be the one to enjoy the meal, not us. She will be pleased, we hope, but we should not get distracted. We should not let our guard down, lest it get away. It yells, cries, does not understand that this is our job now. We leave the intruder in the tall grass it came out of, and then run back to greet our leader as she walks. Human. I can live here. I can live here just fine. If I am ever lost, I tell the dogs, start at the house and search in circles that widen. This is how we try to find him. Understand, I say. Right. This one dog is so funny. We laugh quite a lot, and I place my palm over its shoulders, and it rests, and I rest. But one night I find it crawled atop another dog, tail pushed to the side. I approach them, and both snarl, but will not detach. I bang some pots together, and they finally run out of the house. The dog comes back eventually, but I am wary of it now. I avoid it. Everywhere, it seems, under tables, in closets, at the foot of my bed, puppies are appearing from the bodies of dogs. This makes me wonder what will one day appear from my own body, or if inversely things will only disappear inside it, eventually enclosing itself, enclosing me. The latter thought is startling. There sure are a lot of them now, I think, as I watch the dogs multiply. Have I only just realized it? I go to the bathroom for some towels. Their numbers make me think, if I died, would these dogs eat me? If they were starving, would they attack? I am sure that they would eat me, but if I were starving, perhaps I'd do the same. They came to me for food, but now in their strength they bring me so much. The carcasses cover the yard. And I am comforted when I see it, this evidence, that they are as determined as I am to avoid the consequences of our hunger. I kneel down and put my arms around one of the dogs. It licks my face. I block it with my hand, and it licks my hand. I am wearing my brother's shirt. I pull the dog's head to my chest. Do you smell him? I say to the dog. Do you know where he is? The dog growls, backs away. The look in its eye is one I have seen before. It's a look that does not know me. I stare into the dog's face and say, is he dead? When I leave, I hide behind a tree until the dogs lose interest in me, move away, and then I'm off. I run.
The Continuing Adventures of Alice Spider by Janice Freegard. Alice and the Personality Disorder. Alice Spider has a friend. Her name is Melanie May. She's not really a friend. They share the same body. When they grow up, they will have multiple personality disorder. Melanie May will be deluded. I am the Virgin Mary, she will say, the Holy Mother. Alice Spider will be catatonic and paranoid on Tuesdays. The Continuing Adventures of Alice Spider by Janice Freegard. Who is Alice? Alice, Alice, who the fuck is Alice, knows exactly who she is. She is Alice Spider, a weaver of words, a weaver of life. She spins herself a safe and cozy little home. She spins herself a wild, wild life. Alice Spider has many tattoos and a ring through her beautiful nose. Who are you, little Alice? Who are you now? And she says, I am Alice Spider. I'm Alice Payne. Alice has a black cloak studded with real stars that keeps the world out. She has no fear, that Alice in the cloak. Her wicked lipstick smile grins out from behind her black hood. Her wicked eyes twinkle. She is hip and groove and totally cool. And she is Alice, as always. I am Alice the weaver, Alice the webster, Alice the spinner of lives, of lines, of lies. I am Alice, Alice Spider. And Alice has half a bottle of Chardonnay still undrunk. And we all know Alice likes a little drink now and then. And Alice has half a packet of cigarettes still unsmoked. And we all know Alice likes a smoke now and then. And Alice has a knife in the kitchen still unused, and we all know Alice likes blood. Alice is Alice is Alice, and she is truly alive. When there are no more censors, when there are no more limits, only then will there be Alice on the page as she is spoke, only the spider waiting in her web, Alice striking. Alice devouring the stuck, struggling fly. Alice strikes again. No regrets. Oh, baby, you are all mine. Alice the vixen. Alice desired. The Continuing Adventures of Alice Spider by Janice Freegard. Alice waits. It's like being in love. It's that mirror you see yourself reflected in. This is me. It's like being in love. Come on, little Alice, you know how to wait. Alice can wait years. Alice is a wild child. Alice casts a spell with Alice as the bait. Alice wants it all to be over. Alice wants it all to go on. Alice wants hope. Alice wants assurance. Alice is sometimes not quite sure exactly what she does want. Alice is both too old and too young for this. Alice is exactly the right age. Oh, my dears, did I ever tell you how wonderful and how like a roller coaster? And how exactly, and it's lies, I know, but on the inside, darlings, on the inside, I can't begin to tell you, me and my furs, all possum, of course, and all the silver cutlery, did I ever tell you? Perhaps I forgot. It's where I always belonged, hotels like that. And I had a hangover that day, I remember. Alice is a tiger. Wired tight, pacing, pool of desire, loving it, feeling alive, give, give to me, I need.
Xavier Box by Becca Barnescas. I dodge the huge swag of laughter, swinging like a noose in the darkened hall, pace its length. There are many doors to consider. This one being most likely, and most likely dangerous. I am always ready to die, although I hardly think it necessary. This mission is extremely simple. Capture her before morning. Mimi by Becca Barnescas. Inside my bones, fine china, sweet powder and keg, crackling lines. Thus the long sleeves and lace at my wrists, whispering. But who has not peered inside her own skull and found it charred? I steady my nerves with a shot. I may have to set a fuse tonight. Books by Becca Barnescas. When I was a boy, I believed in secret toys that moved in cupboards and hissed through keyholes. I played under tables in the nursery with my tin weapons and read earnest books on wilderness survival. I grew up. I studied war and how to pick locks, women, books, maps. M by Becca Barnescas. Not glancing up. Ever clever, that one, cannot even figure how to spring me, just stands stupidly. Removes all her clothing and then resumes measuring and mixing. There are some that run screaming out to the playground, thoughtless fun on their minds, and others who loiter, wait, watch, holding up a small pen and looking at it. I would like to kill a lot of birds with one stone.
Just the heads. They are watching a movie. They are posing for Civil Union pictures. Apart, they are nothing. Together, they are everything. Figure 79. Everything and a part of everything. When some things fail. Someone has come and labeled everything. We are at a loss for words. Figure 9. A word machine, albeit deficient in vowels, used via repeated connecting of the dots. All men equal. When it came right down to it, although they each received an extra sex chromosome in utero, they were both just men. Men who liked to chop firewood and trace their roots with diagrams. Figure 29. They held those truths to be self-evident. There might have been some mastication. Perhaps the dog chewed it, or it melted. What is the current temperature in degrees Celsius? It is difficult to determine cause and effect. At least there is still that wide opening to get your arm through. Figure 7. There is still a hole.
From Smedley's Secret Guide to World Literature, Jonathan Levy Wainwright IV, age 15, by Oskold Melnichuk. Dad, poet, 1954 ad nauseam. When all that remains of my father is print, I want these words to stand behind his on every library shelf. My father was born on December 13, 1954, on Irving Street in Cambridge. E.E. Cummings lived a few blocks away half a century earlier, a fact Dad pointed out to anyone in range as though to prove the area's durable lodestone of poetic grit. Dad's granddad, my great-grandfather, who ate a bullet long before I arrived, was a heavy-duty cockmeister and... Nah, can't do it. As I said, family history isn't my thing. Let's try this instead. Not only is Dad a shameless self-Googler, he also makes his students subscribe to his Twitter feed so he can share his latest insights about this week's New Yorker. He radiates insane, even violent ambition. He covers the map of my world like an oil spill. There was a time when we used to shower together, wearing swimsuits. He'd soap me and I'd soap him until Mom finally made him stop. Dad is also super impressed that he teaches at Harvard. Half his sentences begin, "At Harvard we..." Amazingly, the words work weird magic. People fall under his spell like he was Dumbledore. Mom, on the other hand, claims Harvard has only two goals: teaching money to replicate itself and prolonging the life cycle of the bow tie. She says the school's been morally bankrupted by fat fart economists whose contribution to higher education has been to build new buildings inspired by the work of the late Albert Speer. Needless to say, like everyone my age, I think about killing myself all the time. Not all the time. Now and again. The rest of the time got Renee on my mind. Go figure.
Help for the Reality Challenged by Laura McCullough. Overhead the ticker. Dow across the clouds. Silver alert on the Garden State Parkway. Black boy, hoodie, earbuds. Florida going down anyway. The coast in danger, surging seas just a click away. The map will show your danger status. The clouds? See the reflection up there. Pollution keeping the moisture screen alive. Don't be willful. The image is you. Don't have anything to apologize for. Apologize for everything. It's all you have to give. Pardon our appearance while we reconstruct this mess, ourselves at best. That's the Game, Boys, by Laura McCullough. Teabag, dunk, junk on display, sex for sisters, Misters May. You're all in the game now, boys. Sucked right in, draping themselves in velvet. I got a crush. Who doesn't want beauty? Can I make that declaration? Mixed up vamps and vampires, shame and surety, sparkle crotch grinding. At Lux, till 2 a.m., then a dunk in the sea, dirty Atlantic, roll in the sand, grit on your behind, running as fast as you can. Wind, I am the wind, waiting for the sun to burn the line of night away. The cameras can't lose this man. Save it for posterity. Bowie My Hair, Goddess Grow by Laura McCullough. Touch the torch. Electricity is restored, so you're not in the dark tonight, sweetheart. The guy with the Bowie jammed the lines, cut through the static. No one home in the hurricane anyway. Isn't like you to be alone. Pink shampoo and fashion tips. There was a dog in the street last night. The one with three legs we see round here sometimes. Chased it through the trees and the yards, and it got hit. The electric company truck, cherry picker folded down. Gatorade tub strapped across the back end, the shovel, the one he used to scrape it up.
Pachinko Mouth, First Turn by Michael Cujo. Hey, du Shetero, and also aloha. Here I am, convincing you. And yes, I can be a gamble. So what do you like? Fun? Sazo. Me, maybe a machine fond of amusement and subtraction, a spray of fuchsia, a fan of lime green rays, strobes of electric blue. In my display, foil and garnish are important resources. Voila! Also, I am attached. but mostly I am gravity, pinballish, viscera of cogs, levers, pistons, counterweights, switches, induction coils, subroutines, anything that vibrates, anything that hopes to vibrate someone else. Whoa. Alas, though, I am utterly sans flippers, that is to say, armature, which is to say, control, which leads to uncertainty. Thus I have come to rely on chance, or something like that. Okay, the floor is open. Ganbatte! Pachinko Mouth, Second Turn, by Michael Gujou. So, when we were all tucked away, ready for lights out bedding, sometimes we heard the tale of the three princesses with unpleasant physical characteristics, or how Oatmeal became king, or, well, as much as I can remember, this one. There once was a docile monkey named Babalanja. One day a shibuya persimmon seed noticed Babalanja squeaking by, wearing his public face. The seed said, "Hey, monkey, hey, fur all over, name three things that hurt." And Babalanja said, "A bee, a chestnut's burr, a sewing needle, and being here." "What kind of bee?" asked the persimmon seed. Next door, a crab named Azageti was instructing her children, "If you don't bud quickly, I'll dig you up with my egg beater." Her frightened children quickly sprouted. Then Azageti said, "Noroi, if you don't hurry up and grow, I'll clip all of you in half with my shears." Her children quickly grew as big as possible under the circumstances. Finally, Azageti threatened her children, "Bear fruit, or I'll discipline you to bits with this hocho." The frightened children promptly gave birth all over the place. Also, the box I came in, that box, it was so clearly marked, "Not prepared to live." A Valediction for When Words Fail, by Michael Gujou. It's wrong to say I know what you are thinking, but it's wrong to think you know what I'm saying, because language is a blunt instrument. It's a game of battleship where we float rules and then torpedo and submerge them, shelling each other, shrapnel raining down. All the pachinko sounds that spill out of us, the clicks, obstruents, sonorants, implosives. What in all that downpour can lend a hand? All you words, you bare ruined birds on a wire, threadbare knick-knacks of sign, I look forward to your failure to communicate. And not because silence is golden, that means only a miser would be happy with it, but because sometimes it's either sink or swim, better to be marooned than to be blue in the face trying to get what can't be got. Do we ever really know what to say? It's time to have the flow of logos stop. Let's let our tongues be still and have our hands speak up. Our nerve endings want to be heard by touch, our oldest, deepest conversation. Hand talks to skin, and skin answers back. The verb of hip bone, clauses of thigh and neck, a clavicle's exclamation. These haptic cadences are the lines of our bodies, and, like copper wires that carry spark, we become incandescent with communion. That glow, that indigo fire, it's the heat of the sun that honey holds in its depth, the current swept with caress that carries electricities. We charge each other. So, if it seems I am gone beyond reach, remember you and I have contact still. We are part of the same capacitor, two bodies whose difference collects ardor. That stock of touch is our habitation, the hive we weave to save our ambered lives.
Yin, closing his eyes, he dreamt of everything at once and did not know. Opening his eyes, he rose with the mat weave imprinted on his back. Ling, she kneels with the knife. He is above her, giving orders with as many mouths as the rain. She can hear each drop, from the clouds to the treetops to the roaring stream. For fresh stripped of skin, any one of us can kill, but we warp with the weather. He binds us together, that we know how to fly on the eyeline, slip into bodies, bury our heads in blood. An, he gives you your vision, you give him your eyes. He spreads his blanket across your jewels, then he falls on you. What do you hear with his tongue in your ear? Where is your vision now? Listen. Colorless things in shapeless places clamor. Where the lantern dies, what the stars mouth in the sky. Through the cracks, back of the grain, I am the sound behind. Open the door. Open the door. Ming. The moon. A mouth. A call. A name. B. Under your foot, color of wheat chaff, furrowed, seedy, plain. Lord, stoop to shit on me. I will yield.
21. Night, white stars on black, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figures walk on the line. Observation of a beautiful night, unseasonable warmth. Night, white stars on black, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figures walk on the line. A star shoots in a white curve, bursts, the figure points his finger, the animal turns around, drops of sweat splash, a wish, a piece of advice. Night, white stars on black, one star brighter, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figures walk on the line to a street lamp in relief. Simple strokes. The animal figure hits it head on. Crash and light spiral. Ripples emit colored stars around. Comment on a constellation. Large vertical night. White stars on black. One star brighter. Town in blue relief. Facades, roofs, chimneys. The figure, stopped on the line, points his finger at the brighter star, while the animal figure wanders, staggers in a series of scrolls and loops, colored stars around, drops of sweat splash. Summons to look, question about the increased shining. Large vertical night, white stars on black, one star brighter, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figure, stopped on the line, looks at the star shining more while the animal figure stops, not understanding, small lines around, drops of sweat splash. Amazement and a question about the celestial phenomenon's intensity. Large vertical night, white stars on black, one star brighter, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figures walk on the line. Growing amazement, relativizing. Street, sidewalks in straight lines, house, street lamp, long wall, house and leafless tree in relief behind, night above, white stars on black. Two figures, jackets in hand, walk in the opposite direction of the two figures who walk into the space defined by the lines. Drops of sweat splash. Announcement of an action, looking for an answer. Simple background, telephone wire and loops, the figure telephones, drops of sweat splash, questions about the celestial phenomenon, as well as the warming. Simple background, telephone wire and loops, the figure telephones, drops of sweat splash,
question without an answer.
Nuit, étoile blanche sur noir, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, les figures marchent sur la ligne, et constatation d'une nuit magnifique dans une chaleur comme été. Nuit, étoile blanche sur noir, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, les figures marchent sur la ligne, une étoile file en courbe blanche, j'ai, que la figure pointe du doigt, que celle animale se retourne, goutte de sueur éclabousse, sont un souhait et conseil. Nuit, étoile blanche en noir, dont étoile d'éclat plus, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, les figures marchent sur la ligne, jusqu'au réverbère en découpe simple trait que la figure animale heurte de plein fouet, choque en une légère spirale, ondulation émette étoile couleur autour, est une remarque sur une constellation. Nuit, grande verticale, étoile blanche sur noir, dont étoile d'éclat plus, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, la figure, en arrêt sur la ligne, pointe du doigt celle d'éclat plus, tandis que la figure animale erre, titube, en série de volutes et lacets, étoile couleur autour, goutte de sueur éclabousse, sont injonction au regard et interrogation devant brillance en plus. Nuit, grande verticale, étoile blanche sur noir, dont étoile d'éclat plus, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, la figure, en arrêt sur la ligne, regarde celle d'éclat plus, tandis que la figure animale, petit trait tout autour, reste sans rien comprendre, goutte de sueur éclabousse, son étonnement et question devant l'intensité du phénomène céleste. Nuit, grande verticale, étoile blanche en noir, dont étoile d'éclat plus, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, les figures marchent sur la ligne, sont étonnement grandissant et relativisation. Rue, trottoirs en ligne droite, maison, réverbère, long mur, maison derrière et arbre nu en découpe A, au-dessus, nuit et étoile blanche sur noir, deux figures, la veste au bras, passent en sens inverse des deux figures qui marchent dans l'espace défini par les lignes, goutte de sueur éclabousse, sont l'annonce d'une action et réponse à chercher. Simple fond et téléphone avec fil en lacet, la figure téléphone, goutte de sueur éclabousse, sont interrogations sur phénomènes célestes autant que climatiques. Simple fond et téléphone avec fil en lacet, la figure téléphone, goutte de sueur éclabousse, est interrogation qui ne trouve de réponse.
22. Simple background, telephone wire and loops. The figure puts down the handset, mops his brow, drops of sweat splash. Questioning and astonishment grow with the heat. Wall and baseboard, heavy curtains, others sheer, windows onto night, white stars on black, reflections in black and white strokes. The figure opens the window, drops of sweat splash, merge with the stars. Questioning. Ledge, curtains, window onto night, white stars on black, one star brighter. The figure looks at it, drops of sweat splash into the window he holds open. Wonder and observation. Night, white stars on black, one star brighter, town in blue relief, facades, roofs, chimneys. The figures walk on the line, fast, drops of sweat splash. Initiative. Night, white stars on black, one star brighter, bare trees in black relief above rotunda with white rectangle, window. No action. Contemplation. Doorstep, stair. The animal figure sits and rests, drops of sweat splash, the figure rings, ripples emanate from a rectangle with a black circle. Exhaustion and a determined gesture. Night, white stars on black, one star brighter, the figure looks at it. Observation. Door in vertical lines. A doorman figure half opens it suspiciously, answers very aggressively. Request and refusal. Door in vertical and horizontal lines. It closes, banging, ripples emanate from the double rectangle. The figures watch without reacting. Drops of sweat splash, vibrant strokes shoot from the animal's tail, burst into black stars around. Real surprise at such rudeness. Simple background. The figures stand on the line. Annoyance. Simple background. The figure rings. Ripples emanate from the rectangle with the black circle, awaiting an answer. Door in vertical lines ajar. The doorman figure answers very aggressively while the other figure pretends. A trick in action. Door in vertical and horizontal lines. The figure stands on the sidewalk line, leads the other figure on the step away by the arm. The trick in action. Door in vertical and horizontal lines. The doorman figure stands speechless, drops of sweat splash. As the other two figures enter, spiral of movement, door closes, banging, ripples emanate from the double rectangle. The trick is pulled.
Simple fond et téléphone avec fil en lacet, la figure repose le combiné, s'éponge le front, goutte de sueur éclabousse, sans interrogation et étonnement comme la chaleur augmente. Mur et plainte, le rideau, d'autres clairs transparents, vitres aux reflets entrées blancs et noirs sur nuit à étoiles blanches sur noir, la figure ouvre la fenêtre, goutte de sueur éclabousse, se confondent en étoiles et interrogations. Rebord, rideau, vitres sur nuit, étoiles blanches sur noir, dont étoile l'éclabousse, la figure la regarde, goutte de sueur éclabousse, d'une fenêtre qu'il tient, son étonnement et une constatation. Nuit, étoile blanche sur noir, dont étoile l'éclabousse, ville en découpe bleue, façade, toits et cheminées, les figures marchent sur la ligne, rapide, goutte de sueur éclabousse, est un volontarisme. Nuit, étoile blanche sur noir, dont étoile l'éclabousse, et arbre nuant des coupes noires au-dessus de rotondes au rectangle blanc fenêtre, nulle action, est une contemplation. Pas de porte et marche, la figure animale reste en arrêt, goutte de sueur éclabousse, tandis que la figure sonne, ondulation émane du rectangle au rond noir, sont épuisement et gestes résolus. Nuit, étoile blanche sur noir, dont étoile l'éclabousse, la figure la regarde, est une constatation. Porte en ligne verticale, une figure de portier entrebâille la porte d'un air soupçonneux, répond très agressive, son demande et refus. Porte en ligne verticale et horizontale, la porte se referme, claquement, ondulation émane de ce double rectangle que les figures regardent sans vraiment réagir, goutte de sueur éclabousse, très vive jaillisse de la queue animale, éclate en étoiles noires autour, est une vraie surprise devant une telle rudesse. Simple fond, les figures se tiennent sur la ligne, est un énervement. Simple fond, la figure sonne, ondulation émane du rectangle au rond noir et l'attente d'une réponse. Porte en ligne verticale, une figure de portier entrebâille la porte, répond agressive et l'autre figure, elle, simule, est une feinte en action. Porte en ligne verticale et horizontale, la figure, sur la ligne du trottoir, entraîne par le bras celle qui est sur la marche et la feinte en action. Porte en ligne verticale et horizontale, la figure du portier reste interloquée, goutte de sueur éclabousse, comme les deux autres viennent juste de pénétrer, spirale de déplacement, et que la porte se referme, claquement, ondulations émanent de ce double rectangle, est une feinte réussie.
An excerpt from the essay Anatomy of a Museum, as read by its author, A. Kendra Green. The first thing I see when I enter the museum is a half-naked man. Not a photograph, or a painting, or a sculpture of some such figure, but an actual man, standing there with his shirt off. He's a fit specimen, early 20s, and as I top the stairs, I notice there's a second man, a brunette this time, in exactly the same state of undress. Medium, they're telling the curator of the Icelandic Phallological Museum. The curator, who seems to find nothing out of the ordinary in this transaction, says nothing in any case, steps into a back room. When he returns a moment later, the two shirtless Scotsmen pay for two t-shirts, the brunette covering himself in the IPM seal, and the redhead donning a block of text listing the museum's name in seven languages. The curator is organizing their krona into the slots of a wooden cash box, carved from good Icelandic birch into the shape of a phallus the size of a lunchbox. I am doing nothing so useful, and so they appeal to me to be their photographer. I hear something like, "She doesn't know yet," as they set up the shot. The southwest corner of the main gallery will be their backdrop, the two men flanked by three of the more impressive phallic specimens on display. The redhead shows me where to stand, make sure the killer whale and the sperm whale specimens are in the frame, and then the two men drop their pants. I click the shutter. The redhead, it turns out, is a zoologist. His brunette friend is a biologist, and they need this picture because they're on a swim team. There's a tradition, they tell me, when on holiday, of posing in the team swimming briefs in front of monuments and tourist attractions. The swimming briefs are easy to pack.
The zoologist and the biologist believe in tradition. The pyramids at Giza, the pyramids in Mexico, the Parthenon, the zoologist explains to me, listing previous photo ops. One guy got arrested in front of the White House last year, he says, with some combination of envy and pride. We were hoping we'd get chucked out of here so we could say, we got chucked out of the penis museum, but the guy, he says, nodding to the curator, he's too nice. Sigurdur Hjartarson is written up more often for his gruffness, but after 131 articles and one documentary film about his museum, perhaps he's just tired of the same questions. How many ways can you ask, why a penis museum? And, ultimately, what else is there to say in response but, why not? 27 countries on at least 4 continents have published articles about the Icelandic Phallological Museum. The ones in languages I can read characterize the place as weird, kooky, oddball, odd, infamous, unique, and sadistic. Mostly it's a matter of headlines, and it probably shouldn't bother me. But flipping through the museum's archives, 9 scrapbooks on a bookshelf where whales, dolphins, and porpoises touches covers with sexualia from prehistory to cyberspace, I begin to take umbrage. I begin to bristle at how rarely anyone seems to notice what an appealing little museum it is. It's curious, yes, but also exotic, familiar, with chairs to sit on and size to the average attention span. Plus, frankly, it's not all that odd a place. From a certain perspective, it's downright traditional. Without the individual collector or the amateur naturalist, what museums would we have left? Both are fundamental and ever-present pillars of museum history. If Sigurdur Hjartarson's museum is odd, perhaps it's odd because it's so old-fashioned, not because it's such newfangled novelty. And anyway, novelty itself is a museum tradition. You want to see a human molar rooted in a rooster's skull like a bony comb? You want a hermaphroditic giant moth with one wing the size and pattern of a male and the other wing that of a female? You want a gemstone in a color you didn't know existed? A mineral formed of its own composition into a perfect cube? Vintage Valentines with racist punchlines? You want to be surprised, you get yourself to a museum. Museums were born of novelty. They specialize in it. And furthermore, they do it well. Though some, the Phallological Museum reminds me, do it better than others.
This is Mark Wunderlich, and the title of this poem is Prayer in a Time of Sickness. So far, I have warded off the worst of things that can happen to a brain and to a body. I have loved myself and the world more than I have loved you, with your unknowable face in the firmament and the world ripe with detail. What is it you wish to teach me? My life has been one of tasks listed and attended, materials curried and weeded and laid by. I have been diligent and have done my work. Then a day came when I could not answer the letter of a friend, could not offer my help, read to the end of the sentence. The Phoebe tossed from his nest was broken on vulpine teeth, spirited into the undergrowth in the dark. Then the 6 fat wrens in their house hung in the arbor disappeared, and their parents stopped their singing. Weeds grew, and I ignored my chores, while the cat worried her tail of its most plumescent fur. I saw my body white as tallow, my face framed by colorless hair, noted my appetites, then put them aside, walked and walked to wear it all away. In the bin, last year's potatoes grew their colorless eyes without benefit of soil or sun, and I spent another night awake and unrested, knitting a cap for a child come too early into the world. What lies on the other side? What do I need to know that will keep me anchored, admired as I am from a distance, an image false as a tin star. I yearned to be cast up on an Arctic island, bare of trees, populated by the recalcitrant and their flocculent half-wild beasts, the air dry and howling, cliffs exposed, the wind stirring its cauldron of birds. You have written each of my days in your illumined book, though I believe this portion will remain unread, a page torn out and stuffed into a crack to keep out the winter damp. I was built by the love of my mother, then let go. She is now old, and sleeps much of the day like a cat, eats small meals in her chair, bakes for funerals, or dusts the small museum visited only by accident. And so she serves the ghosts of our town and does not believe in you at all. At summer's end, I traveled north, crossed the sea to the salted rim of the Arctic. From a rented room, I watched revelers wend in arcs bound by the corrugated street, breakfasted on liver paste and beets, was tinted in the light of a city bus as it ferried me to the national attractions, a heroic past reconstructed in wax, a diorama of a seeress wearing catskin gloves, dining on the hearts of dogs, spidery manuscripts chilled under glass, and the rusted nails and altarpieces standing in for an architecture long effaced by the wind's hand. A young man named for a god of fucking rode his palomino next to my dun. His face was chapped, and his hair was combed by the wind from underneath a helmet of foam. We passed the named steadings, roofed in turf, their pyramids of hay, while our horses muscled like athletes on paths cut through knee-high grass, over lava and hill crest, past geyser and sulphurous marsh, horned sheep wandering wild through wind and rain. Hours went by, and no one spoke as our animals huffed and pushed against the reins. My thighs tightened on my gelding's furred back. Hands learned his mouth like that of a husband. Your hold on this island is tenuous, broken as it is by the core of the earth, seeping its sulphurous reek and sanding the air with ash. The inhabitants live among the greatest powers visible to their water and ice-colored eyes. You are maddening abstraction. You, the triangulator, the great confuser, take note. For centuries, this populace huddled in earth-walled halls, smeared black butter on dried fish, spun wool in the dark, washed their hair in urine, and fermented their meat in whey. How could you ever conquer a land that didn't know bread? You have left me here to wander, far from friends, my family shuffling about their small farm, your absent gaze pressing them toward the grave, the night numbing me to the evident good I might do or understand or receive. There is a bruise on my brain that does not heal, nor does it spread, walled in as it is by pills. Your name is nowhere to be found in my future, treeless and tasting of salt. Here I stand at the estuary, my horse cropping grass, no sounds of men save the one next to me as he pares dried mutton with a knife. Geese conduct their exercises nearby. The tide's green hair recedes, pulled backward by the blue-skinned moon. The wind lifts, sun flickers, the sky trimmed by wings of terns, as your great thumb pushes against my lips, and you click the snaffle past my teeth.